been talking about following God's divine design for your life, and we have been going into detail about the tabernacle. And who can mention one of the items that are in the tabernacle? The candlestick, all right. Any others? Mercy seat, that's the lid of the ark. The altar, yep, the brazen altar, okay. And this all was contained in a courtyard, and there was the outer courts, okay. You see the white linen, and it just speaks of holiness. And there's only one entrance into this, just like there's only one way to Jesus. The brazen altar represents the sacrifice that Jesus made on Calvary. And then in between the holy place and the altar, you see the laver, which the priests would have to wash every time before they would enter and after performing a sacrifice. And that laver was made out of mirrored bronze, so not only was there water in there, but you could see your reflection. Did you know that the Word of God is your mirror? If you look into the mirror of the Lord, what do you see? We ought to be seeing Jesus. And then, of course, the altar was made of bronze, the laver was made of bronze, but then as you got into the holy place, you had the table of showbread, and you had the candlestick or the lampstand, and the altar of incense, and that was in there. The bread represents God's presence. Of course, the candlestick represents the Word, which gives light. The altar of incense, he had to burn that every day as he filled the oil and trimmed the wicks of the lampstand. He had to take care of the altar of incense, and the incense represents intercession or prayer that rises up to God. And then there was a veil that separated the holy place from the most holy place. And only the high priest could go into the most holy place. And the closer you got to God's presence, the more expensive things became, the more costly they were. Okay? And that's just kind of an overview of the things of the altar or the tabernacle, and everything, every article, every piece of furniture, every instrument points to one person. Who do you think that is? Jesus. All right? He is the fulfillment. And just as Moses got the pattern for this from God, God has given us a pattern. And we touched on something last week. And it was by the Spirit of God. I didn't plan to say it, but we talked about how you may not be where you want to be with everything that you think you'd have in life, but if you just continue to follow Jesus, you'll get to where you need to be. And I want to focus on that a little bit tonight. And if anybody's interested, I will make my notes available. I'm at 10 pages right now. So I combined all my notes into one little booklet, and I have the picture of the tabernacle there. And I'd like for you to go to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Because the tabernacle was built according to a pattern or a design. God shared with Moses every detail, every dimension, every article. Even the rings on every piece of furniture had a purpose. The curtains had a purpose. Every pole had a purpose. What's my point? You have a purpose, and your purpose is not insignificant in God's eyes. There is no one who is insignificant in the body of Christ. Say, I am significant. All right? Matthew chapter 4, And I want you to look at verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Do you think it surprised Jesus to see fishermen casting a net into the sea? Nope. It was a regular thing. They lived by the sea. There was probably a lot of fishermen, and this wasn't a strange thing. But then I want you to look at verse 19. Then he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Did Peter and Andrew know something about fishing? Did they know some things about fish and about the sea and about the boat and about the nets and about where the good places were to catch the fish? But what did Jesus say? "I'm going to take the knowledge that you have," and he said, "if you follow me, I'm going to make you into something different, something that you didn't think you could be." In other words, Jesus was saying, "I am going to be your model. I am going to be your pattern. And if you follow me, if you imitate me, if you walk with me, I will make you." Notice, they weren't fishers of men at that point, but they would become fishers of men as long as they followed him. Well, if everything in the tabernacle points to Jesus, and it does, then everything in Jesus' life points to the Father. And if you follow him, he'll get you to where you need to be. He will make you into what he already has designed you for. When did Jeremiah know that he was called? He said, "From my mother's womb, you knew me." God knew everything about you. He knew that you were going to be here tonight. He knew about your family. He knew about your career. He knows everything about you. He knows even how many hairs are on your head. And he has got a divine design for your life. And the key to unlocking that design is following him. All right? Because notice, he saw them, he called them, and he challenged them. The challenge was they had to leave something that they knew, that they were familiar with, that they had done for years. Apparently, Peter was fairly successful because he had partners. James and John were partners with Peter and Andrew in their fishing business, because when he caught too many fish, he called his partners over to help him. And his partners left their boat with the hired servants, so they had employees. They experienced some level of success, but that wasn't God's ultimate plan for their life. He had a plan for their life for them to catch men. To take these, now I don't know, I've never heard of a fishing school where you go to learn fishing. You know, pretty much it's a hands-on school, right? You learn how to fish by doing it. So these simple words transformed their life. This call from Jesus to follow me was a call to discipleship. Now, a disciple is one who observes the actions and listens to the person's words that they're following. Observation, association. Go with me to Psalm 78. Psalm 78. And look at verses 70 to 72. Listen to what he did for David. Psalm 78:70. He also chose David his servant, and he took him from the sheepfolds. From following the ewes that had young, he brought him to shepherd Jacob his people, and Israel his inheritance. So he shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart, and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. David knew sheep. He would sleep with the sheep in the field. He would defend the sheep. He made sure the sheep had enough to eat. But yet that wasn't God's ultimate plan for his life. But he was going to take the skills that he had in shepherding, and he was going to make him a ruler over his people. He was going to cause him to shepherd his people. And the entrance from shepherding to kingship was a giant. A giant stood in the doorway. But David faced the challenge. No one else would answer the call to meet Goliath. But this young boy came on the battlefield, and his life was forever changed. You know, after he defeated Goliath, he became Saul's armor bearer. He went from the field to the palace in one instance. And so God, as he followed the Lord, he began to change David's heart. And he began to instill with him what he needed to be a king of his people. All right? Go with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Now this following Jesus is not so much getting behind him, but it's a call for constant companionship. You know, if you read Mark 16, the Bible says that they went out and preached the word, and God working with them. Say, with me. God's working with you. Confirming his word with signs following. All right? Ephesians chapter 5. And verse 1, it says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love, how? As Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. How are you to imitate God? You are to imitate him. To imitate someone means to what? To mimic them, to sound like them, and to act like them. Was that a suggestion? You know, it would be really nice if you would imitate God. No, he said, be imitators of God as dear children. It's amazing how Gabriel will mimic me at different times. And we are to imitate God. We are to follow him. We are to be like him. We are to pattern ourselves. He is our pattern. He is our model. He is our guide. He showed us how to live a victorious life on this earth. We talk a lot about his death, but we don't talk enough about his life. He lived for 30 years before he ever did a miracle. And it wasn't until he became 30 that he entered into a ministry that lasted for 3.5 years. But in those 30 years of living, he did not commit one sin. He did not do anything wrong. He walked in love. He pleased his Father. And he grew in stature and in knowledge of the Lord. From a young boy, he would, when his parents thought that he was with them, as they ventured off, Mary thought Joseph had him, and Joseph thought Mary had him, and then they said, where's Jesus? I don't know, I thought you had him. I don't know, I thought you had him. And so he wasn't even with them, but yet he was about his Father's business. He said, didn't you know that I'd be about my Father's business? How long will it take us to be about our Father's business? Was it an inconvenience for Peter and Andrew? Did they have to lay something down to follow Jesus? Absolutely. They had to lay their nets down. Did they think twice about it? No. Because it was the right time for them. He came by, and all he said was, "Follow me, and I will make you whatever I have designed you to be." If you want to be what God wants you to be, it's going to require you to follow him. He's the only way to the path of righteousness. You won't find what you've been created to do any other way. So you have to be imitators. You don't have to turn there, but Leviticus 45 says, "Be holy, for I am holy." What's the standard of our holiness? Did it say, "Be holy because you feel like it"? I don't know about you, but I don't feel holy every day. It didn't say, "Be holy because you took a poll and think it was a good day to..." Oh, let's see, it's a good day to be holy. I think I'll be holy today. No, he said, "Be holy because I'm holy." It didn't say, "Be holy because your family's holy." In Joseph's case, the only one that was on his side was his father. He didn't find any, you know, and Reuben was kind of for him because it prevented him from being killed, but he couldn't stop him from being sold into slavery. "Be holy, for I am holy." It's a different standard of living, isn't it? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Notice he didn't say, "Be holy because your pastor's holy." This is the only qualification how you should follow a minister. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 11. Maybe it's 2 Corinthians. No, I must have put down the wrong reference. It says, Paul told his followers, he said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." So if there's an area that your spiritual leader is not following Christ, you're not obligated to follow them in that area. Right? He said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." How are husbands supposed to love their wives? Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. So in order for you to find out how to love your wives as Christ loved the church, you got to find out how Jesus loved the church. What did he do for the church? How did he show his love? That's how we're to love our wives. We're supposed to do it like he did it. We're supposed to follow him. We're supposed to imitate. Oh, 1 Corinthians 11:1. Thank you, my love. Let's go there. A little transposition of the numbers. Yes, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. So if you're following someone and they're going to end up in the ditch, you don't want to follow them. You want to follow them as they follow Christ. All right? Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And look at verse 10. It says, "For we are his workmanship." Say, "I'm his masterpiece." Say it again. Say, "I'm his masterpiece." That's what that word workmanship means. Masterpiece. created in Christ Jesus. Did you know that you were created in Christ? For good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should, say should. Just because you've been created in Christ doesn't mean that you're going to get in the good works that he has prepared beforehand before you, for you. You've got to walk, you've got to live your life as Christ lived his. You've got to follow his example. Is it possible to be like Jesus? Does he have anything in this world that limits him? Is there anything, is he limited by anything in this world? Anything natural? Is he limited by any natural law? So if naturally our economy doesn't look so good, does that matter to God? Has God ever faced anything that didn't look so good? Yeah, he looked on this world when it was dark, formless, void. And you know what? He didn't talk one thing about the darkness. He spoke light, and light was. Now, you can get into agreement with all the darkness, and you have to be careful because it's easy to do. You can either talk darkness or you can talk light. But talking darkness isn't going to make the light come on. You got to speak the light. You know, Jesus wasn't even in a hurry to get to Lazarus' grave. He waited 4 days to make sure that he was good and dead. Oh, your friend Lazarus is dead. Now, normally, the world would have said, you got to go, you got to go, you got to go now, we got to do now. Really? I don't have to do it now. I'm not bound by any natural law. Because he knew he was the resurrection and the life. And he walked in that. And when he got on the scene, he knew that if he spoke life, life was going to happen. That's who we are. We need to live our lives according to Jesus Christ. He is the standard. He is the model. We're a copy of him. And we can live like he lived. It is possible. Go with me to 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. Look at verse 5, 1 John 1, 5. 1 John 1, 5, not the gospel. This is the message which we have heard from him. Do you remember what Jesus said to the fishermen? He saw them, he called them, and he challenged them. Guess what? It hasn't changed. This is the message which we have heard from him. Who did they hear it from? Him. And declare it to you. Did you know that what they were declaring was what they heard from him? That means that their message was his message. Come on now. They were saying what he said. That's what happened to Joshua and Caleb. When Joshua and Caleb, they didn't act like the 10 spies. They acted like they were of the Lord. They didn't say we're like grasshoppers. They said we are well able to take the land. Who got in? The ones that acted like God. Not the ones that acted like the world. Verse 6, if we say we have fellowship with him, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, how? As he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Woo, when you're walking in the light as he is in the light, what do you have? You have fellowship. You have two fellows in the same ship. You have unity. You have fellowship. Isn't fellowship good? You know, when you have fellowship, you're in a place that you're accepted. Those whom you fellowship with accept you. But you've got to walk in the light. How? As he is in the light. You've got to follow a different model, a different pattern that he came to show us. He came from heaven to show us how to live a victorious life. Did you know 1 John also says that this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith? Who's our faith to be in? Have faith in God. We're supposed to pattern our faith and our believing after him, his character, his nature, his promises, his word. And when you pattern your faith after him, you'll have strong faith. Is that true? I'm about ready to get excited here. Man, go with me to Colossians chapter 3. You know what? We have lived below the level that we could live. I'm making a decision tonight. I'm not going to live below my means as far as spiritually speaking. Ephesians 1 says, you are blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places by Christ Jesus. He made you to sit in heavenly places with him. You are above and not beneath. You're the tail. You're the head, not the tail. You are blessed. You are a child of Abraham by faith. You're an heir of God. You're a joint heir with Jesus. You're more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. You can do all things through Christ, through Christ, through Christ who strengthens you. So I am not going to live beneath my means, and I am not going to let the world intimidate me. I'm going to take my place in Christ, and I'm going to become a possessing force. I'm going to intimidate the devil. That's what I'm going to do. You mess with my family, devil, I'm going to get some people saved. You mess with me, I'm going to get them filled with the Holy Ghost. And if you keep messing with me, I'm going to make them a disciple. Colossians chapter 3. Look at verse 12. Therefore, you know, whenever you see that word, you better see what it's there for. As the elect of God. Anybody here who's been elected by God? Aren't you glad you got God's vote? He voted for you. He put you into office. And guess what? No one can say that you can't be in that office. Nah, 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 nah. You can't tell me I can't be in this office. God put me here. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. He's calling you holy and beloved because you are the elect of God. You are God's chosen priesthood, chosen people. Put on tender mercies. What did you have on before tender mercies? Put on kindness, humility, meekness, long suffering. And that's with a smile, by the way. Bearing with one another, forgiving one another. That sounds to me like Jesus. Bearing with one another, forgiving one another, humility. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I'm meek and lowly and I'm gentle. That sounds like Jesus. If anyone has a complaint against another, forgive. Even as Christ forgave you. You are to forgive based on how Christ forgives, not how you feel. Not what your emotions tell you. You are to forgive based on His standard. The problem is we've been using a crooked ruler to measure our lives. When we compare ourselves with one another, it's a crooked ruler. The Bible speaks against us comparing ourselves with one another. Even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Boy, that's a suggestion, isn't it? You must do. I even have in my Bible, I don't even know when I put it, just like Christ. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You're never going to be like Christ unless you let His word dwell in Him richly. What does it mean to be rich? It means to have an abundance. When you're letting the word of God dwell in you richly, you're letting abundance of Scripture be in you. How do you know if it's in you? It'll come out of you. If there's nothing in there, nothing's going to come out. If you don't turn on the water spigot and you hit the end of the hose, no water's going to come out. You've got to turn it on to let water flow through. Well, how do you let the Word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Whether you eat, whether you're shopping, whether you're just taking a ride in your car, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Everything we do is to be done how? According to God's divine pattern that came down from above in the form of Jesus Christ. He has made it possible. You know, Genesis 1:28 says that we are created in His image and His likeness. In Him we were created. All right? But after we were created, we fell. Man disobeyed God. And when he did, sin came in and separated what God had created. Sin divided us from the life and the nature of God. And then God had to recreate us in Christ Jesus, because he said, if you are in Christ, you are a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You are no longer divided from God. You can be like him. You can follow his example. You can live like him. You can speak like him. You can have victory like him. Come on now. You can be victorious just like Jesus was victorious. You don't have to worry because Jesus never worried. People wanted to kill him. Oh, I'm just going to walk away. You're going to bring how many for dinner? Okay, I got a 2-piece fish dinner in the fridge. We got it covered. You need to pay your taxes? First fish you catch, Peter, will take care of my taxes and yours. Oh, you need a healing? Don't worry. It doesn't take medicine. I have the word. This is how we have to live. Why do you think he walked the earth for as many years as he did? He did that so that we could learn how to live the way that we should be living. Does that mean you'll ever miss it? No. You might miss it, but just be quick to repent, quick to make it right. And man, if you're quick to make it right, you'll be a person after God's own heart. But Christ is now the pattern. Just like Moses, when he was invited to the penthouse of heaven on Mount Sinai, he got the pattern for the tabernacle supernaturally. He came down off the mountain with a detailed plan on how to build this tent. And if God can put so much detail in a tent, how much detail do you think he's got about your life? You're far more valuable than a tent. You're the temple of God. Amen? I don't know about you, but I'm going higher. Let's put on our mountain climbing shoes and let's go higher. Amen? Let's come up. He's pulled us up out of the miry clay. You're not in the miry clay anymore. Your feet is not on sand. You're on a solid foundation. You're on a firm foundation. You're on the cornerstone, which is Christ. There's nothing that can move that cornerstone from its place. He said, nothing will take you from the love of God. Nothing. Yeah, let's go to Romans 8. Do you realize that if there was ever a time to live like Christ, it's now. This is a time for the church, the body of Christ, to rise up and let Christ shine. The world needs to see his strength. The world needs to see his grace. The world needs to see his power operating, but it's going to have to operate through us because we're his body. It's time that the Palmyra Walmart has some miracles performed in it. It's time that miracles start taking place in the streets, in the highways, in the byways. Amen? It's time that they see some true Christianity, some true Christianity, one that adheres to the Word of God and has authority and power, like Stephen and Philip. And those seven that performed miracles as waiters. Stephen was a waiter and was going around performing miracles. Come on now. You're part of the body of Christ. You're a believer. Miracles happen because of believers. Say, I'm a believer. Say, I'm a conduit for miracles. You ought to get up tomorrow morning as you're going to wherever you're going and say, I'm a conduit for miracles. Woo! Your miracle working power just flows through me. I'm a conduit for miracles. I'm a fiber optic line to heaven. I got GSL, God's saving line, flowing through me. Romans 8, verse 29. Whew, man. Well, let's go to verse 28 first. And we know, say I know, that all things work together for good to those who love God. So no matter what happens in the world, if you love God, things are going to work out good. Come on, it's going to work out good. He says, we know this. We know. He's speaking of assurance. He's speaking with confidence. Hey, we don't have it as bad as Paul. We don't get beat up everywhere we go. All things work together for good. To who? To those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Say his purpose. Now, if you're doing your purpose, things may not work out good. They only work out good when you're doing his purpose. Verse 29, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Woo! That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. You are the brethren that he's the firstborn of. He is the firstborn of many brethren. Verse 30, moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. Woo! Say, I'm glorified. What makes you glorified? Because his glory is in you. If Christ in you, the hope of glory. You ever hear that? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2, and then I'm going to try to finish. 1 Peter chapter 2. And let's go to verse 20. For what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. Did Jesus do anything to deserve crucifixion?
No.
No, he didn't. Even Pontius Pilate said, I find no fault in him. He washed his hands. But because Jesus came to give his life a ransom for many, he was like a lamb to the slaughter. He didn't say a word because he was going to be the sacrifice. All right? Now, verse 21, or 22, well, no, 21. For this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. Ooh, that's a big thing. If you want to be like Jesus, let no deceit be in your mouth. That's one of the things that ticks God off, is a perverse mouth, one that speaks lies. Who, verse 23, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. If someone wants to argue with you, just be quiet and the argument stops. It takes two to argue, right? When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. Did Jesus suffer sickness? No, that is not the suffering that we do as a Christian. We don't suffer sickness. Sickness is an intruder into the temple of God. But he bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, did you know that you're dead to sins? In other words, sin doesn't dominate you anymore because you have a new nature. That you might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. So we're to follow his example and walk in his steps. Did you know that he orders the steps of a righteous man and he delights in their path? Did you know that his word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path? Did you know that we're to walk by faith and not by sight? That's following in his steps. Because every place that the sole of your foot treads, guess what? It belongs to you. So when you enter a room, that territory belongs to you. And because you're there, God has a right to work there. And if the devil doesn't like it, he has to shut up. You tell him, Jesus would tell the devils, hold your peace. And they'd be like, they couldn't say a word. Guess what? He's authorized you to speak on his behalf. He's given you his authority, his power. He said, you can use my name. In my name, you shall cast out devils. In my name, you shall heal the sick. In my name, you'll cleanse the leper. In my name, you'll raise the dead. freely you have received, freely give. So say this with me. Say, I will not be intimidated by the devil. I'm going to follow Christ. He's my pattern for living. He's my example. I'm going to talk like him. I'm going to walk like him. And I'm going to love like him. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'm going to dismiss you. But if there's someone here that needs prayer for anything, I think that there's an anointing here that God just wants to touch you. You know, there are times when you need a boost of his power just to kind of get you over the obstacle. Amen? So I'm going to dismiss you, but if you need prayer, I'm going to be here, and I'd like to pray with you if you need prayer, all right? But I'm fired up. And hopefully it shows. But last week, I believe that was a revelation of the Holy Spirit, because that I had no intention of saying that, but then the Lord began to show me about what it means to follow him, because that's exactly what Moses did with the tabernacle. He followed the design, and it worked. When we follow Christ, it will work. And no matter what comes along the way, don't let anything deter you from following him. Oftentimes, the Bible says, don't look to the right, don't look to the left. We're to look to him. We're to look up. And that'll keep you on the right path. Amen? God bless you, but if you need prayer, come on up.